Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 330. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Except last week you weren't joined by me.
That's
stop lying.
Right. It's last week.
Calling you out, Chris.
At most of the time, joined by Tony. And Jeff as well.
Yes.
And Pete's here.
What's up?
Tony was not here, as he mentioned last week. So let's get your thoughts on the reveal of the Nintendo Switch, which we won't hear anything more about until January.
And that's news, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I was going to say it's like what they showed us wasn't true. Like, none of the footage was actual NX footage. It was all made up to appease people who wanted information.
So is Mario fake?
No, chances are it's in development, but they tend to like green screen that stuff while people are playing with it, so that way they can pick and choose the exact like type of footage they want displayed on the video. So like those are probably all real games, but like you don't want whoever's playing it, you know, that's a logistical nightmare, like getting him to the exact moment of the exact type of footage.
Oh yeah, show. Well, I mean, like the. And we know that like Breath of the Wild is a real game, and there's obviously going to be.
They showed off like Skyrim, which has been confirmed.
Skyrim, like Bethesda said very clearly that like, hey, we're going to support it, but we don't have Skyrim ready for this yet.
Which is weird. Like, why license them to use that kind of footage if you're going to be like, nah?
When they did the same thing with the NBA game too. 2K later came out and said that it wasn't specifically, you know, they don't have that game ready yet, so they couldn't actually talk about it. Even so if it was 2K17. So.
Yeah, it is very weird.
I wonder if that's more Nintendo than those companies specifically.
It could be. It might,
like, hey, you're actually not allowed to talk about what games you're bringing onto our platform yet.
Because we're not talking about it until January, so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess since we just mentioned it, that's literally news. That the next presentation is January 12th next year, and that's supposed to be there.
That's when we'll actually know anything. The one thing I will say about what they showed is that Nintendo has no idea how to design a controller that looks like it's meant for human hands. Those things are designed for like claw people. I don't know who in Japan was testing these things, but you go that, you look at the massive controller you got for the Wii U, you got those stupid nunchuck things you had for the Wii. Like, even the GameCube, the controller was ridiculous.
Hey, can
Nintendo...
the GameCube controller is designed for like an 8-year-old's hands because it's so fucking small.
Whoa.
Or Jeff's.
I mean, it's like, you know, the pro controller's at least normal.
Right.
And it looks
even
like
you
it, there
go
is
back
like a
to
pro
the
controller
Nintendo's
for it.
First controller ever, the NES controller, that stupid square thing that would like cut into your hands, and like the only controller they've designed where you're like, this feels good in my hands was SNES.
Yeah, see,
the
they
only
round
one
it.
Was, like, confirmed.
Yeah. That was a really good controller.
It was, and it's like they've forgotten everything since then. But I was staring at those little controllers they're ripping off of the system, and I'm just like, what are these? Why are they doing this again? Do they not know? Like, there's a reason that the PS4 and Xbox One controllers are so similar. Like,
but you can get one of those.
Are shaped in a certain way. There's comfort in the way that these things are designed, and you know, in their desire to be unique and new and fresh, they're kind of just ignoring the fact that, you know, there's things that are similar about all human beings, which is why these controllers are the same.
Yeah, we figured out controllers by this point.
stop pretending like you're breaching some new frontier. Like, give me something that feels good to pick up.
They do have there is a pro controller for it though, like, which is like, I don't know, those are pretty similar to, they're pretty similar to like an Xbox controller.
Yeah, I like that they offset the analog sticks.
Yeah.
Again, so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to January though, just because like, I already know I'm gonna buy it just because, but like, I want to know what the lineup is, like what they have for the first year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the article here says, just says major details about the company's new gaming system will be shared at the event for media analysts and trade partners in Tokyo. It'll be live streamed globally on January 12th, which means that this thing is going to be at like 4 in the morning our time. But the company said it would share specific times at a later date, unless it's just a direct. But even, and it's going to air in like Japan local time and then 6 hours later America local time. But I feel like the news cycle is going to start when that Japanese one airs. So it says the presentation will include launch date, pricing for the system, and details regarding the lineup of games currently in development by Nintendo. And then they also... Wow,
it's a long wait.
Hmm?
It's a long wait.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely... I guess it's because they're doing the whole mini SNES thing right now. They're, like, just staying out of the way of their,
fuck,
like, stupid...
I wish it was an SNES. I fucking wish.
Says, also announced that Nintendo Switch sampling events for invited media partners and consumers will take place in the U.S. and Europe after the presentation at later dates. Public will have opportunities to participate in other hands-on events around the same time, but that those details will not be announced until a later time. So, yeah.
Well,
that's news.
We got some time to wait on it, so.
All the time.
All right. Well, since that was the news, Tony, what have you been playing?
Lots and lots of Battlefield 1. So much Battlefield 1. All the Battlefield 1, okay? Not the single player, though, just the multiplayer.
You have not played the single player?
I played the prologue mission that it throws you in when you first launch the game.
You have to play.
Which was good. I'm excited to play the single player. It's just the multiplayer is so good that I don't really need the single player right now. I've been playing with Don as well. So, I don't know. What did you guys, talk about it last week?
A little bit, I think. Because it hadn't officially come out when we recorded. So, I think I was really the only one that had played any sort of majority of it. And at that point, I had only played the prologue and the tank mission and then a bunch of the multiplayer. And I played more of the multiplayer since then. So
the multiplayer is so good.
Yeah.
I like operations mode. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Does that take super long?
It can take like an hour, but that's how Battlefield is. Like the matches are really long. The one mode that's plays short matches, War Pigeons. I mean, those matches are like 8-9 minutes long. I don't like it.
You don't like War Pigeons? I had a lot of fun with it with Don and Fozzie the other day.
I guess if your team is good, like yes. I was playing with Don yesterday, and we're getting massacred. We lost every match. It's just they end really quickly, so it's. If your team is bad, they grab the war pigeon and release it really quickly, and then you're just under artillery. And it's,
yeah.
It happens really fast.
Yeah. That game can be fun if you're on a team that knows what they're doing, or at least matched fairly with another team.
Like, I don't mind losing, but when it's just a wipeout, which is how all the matches kind of felt.
Yeah.
I don't mind like conquest mode if it's unfair. Like, I don't really even notice.
But it's because the map is so big, and like you're basically taking your points. So it's like you can have like mini victories within a bigger losing battle.
Right.
Like, but, I'm going to defend flag A. This is my flag. Get away from my flag.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But you can't get that in the War Pigeons because you're only playing with 10 people and the map's really small. It is a cool idea. It's very interesting, and I think if you're evenly matched, it would be a lot better. But
it's basically a one flag captured flag, but then like the team actually, so the other team has the opportunity that once you capture the flag and you release it, they can actually shoot it out of the sky.
Yeah.
Which puts a very different spin on it. So. Yeah.
The other thing about it I don't like is it takes away a lot of the things I think are really cool about Battlefield. The huge maps, the vehicles everywhere, like the total chaos that seems to be going on all the time. You just kind of miss out on that.
You miss out? That's less than usual?
Well, it's a smaller map, so there's not... If there are vehicles, there's normally only one or two.
Yeah.
And it's generally like just a bunch of like foot soldiers going at it, and you know, over a smaller map.
Yeah, you don't have like 64 people running around.
Yeah.
Which mode are you talking about?
War Pigeons.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Battlefield 1 in general. I was like, I don't know, dude. I've played some Conquest. It's just crazy.
Yeah, Conquest is nuts.
All right, I got lost. My fault.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun in Conquest, a lot of fun in Operations mode. Operations mode is really cool if you can, you know, have the time to sit down for an hour. And
That's something that can take a really long time. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, Operations mode is a mix of it's basically like a mix of Conquest and Rush. It takes place on a very large map, but the attacking team is tasked with taking over points. And once they take over the amount of points in a sector, they take that sector and they push the front forward, whereas the defending team is trying to keep them out. So, and the attacking team actually has three attacks, right?
It's like three waves, yeah. So once you lose all your tickets, it stops. You're declared like, okay, you've stopped them, whatever. And then the attacking team gets a behemoth. And gets a chance to try again, which is always really cool. I like when the Zeppelin or the train comes in. Kind of changes things up.
Yeah, it definitely makes it more challenging. And if you're on a map that, you know, a sector does not have anti-air guns, that behemoth, that airship can be really difficult to take down.
Yes. And actually, I think one of my favorite moments in Battlefield is when that airship gets taken down, and you see it coming down, and it's like flaming, and like it's a point you could see from anywhere point on the map, and you just get this big spectacle of the thing coming down, and of course you can get crushed underneath it while it's landing, which happened to us, right? Like all four of us got killed one time.
Yeah, it landed on us.
It's really big. It's hard to get out of the way. It's it's coming close.
Run.
I wonder if that will kill us. Yes, it did. And then sometimes it's a ship, and sometimes it's a armored train. But I like how they work the behemoths in there. Like the team that is losing, it gives them a chance to flip the script on how the match is going.
Yeah.
It's a really nice touch, like rubber banding for.
Yeah, it attempts to keep the match close at least. Yeah. Like in War Pigeons, like if you're on a bad team, like you have no chance of turning that around. So
yeah.
And it's I think we played quite a bit together, like playing in a squad, ton of fun. It's just mayhem out there. But you kind of need to play with other people because you need somebody to be calling out where the enemies are, and
right. Or somebody make a decision where your squad is going,
right?
So you can all go there together.
Otherwise, it's just like everyone's running off in different directions. And
yeah,
Jeff, you finished the single player.
Yes, I did.
And you're not much of a fan of Battlefield, but what did you think of this?
I thought it was great. Like I thought it was one of the best like shooters I've played in a long time. Like. I don't know. Like it was really cool being back in a real war and like in real battles and like shit that took place.
Right.
I liked that it was the campaign is a bunch of short stories. Like I thought that was a really cool idea. Each story kind of like teaches you a different part of the game too. Kind of like you said, like the opening mission. There's like a tank mission.
Yeah.
Then the second one is, it's probably my favorite one, is the flying one, where you're, like, flying around most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
some of the stories I think are great too, and like they all have like different tones. Like the second one is like I thought it was like super lighthearted and like fun kind of swashbuckling type thing, and some of them are like super serious and sad. I don't know. It was really cool. Like I had a great time with the campaign. I'm glad I liked it because I'm terrible at the multiplayer. So.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to playing with you, Jeff.
I'm bad. I was playing earlier today, and I was like just trying out different classes to see if I could be of some use. I think I was at most useful as like a medic, but man, I am not good at the game.
I will say that my first like two or three matches of Battlefield, I was inept. Like I could not hit anything. I just went out there to die.
I've had times where like I'm like facing the guy and I'm shooting him, like I see him before he sees me and I'm shooting him and he'll turn around and kill me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Halo? Yeah. What am I doing? I'm terrible. I'm bad.
You just need to find your spot.
You need some practice. That helps too.
Yeah.
And to play with a squad, because if you're playing with, you know, other people that are kind of watching your back, you may have a better chance of killing some people.
Possibly. But, yeah.
If dude, you heal us or something.
I'll play. I mean, I don't care. You know I'm going to be bad, so it's not going to be a surprise. But you got to play the campaign, Tony. I thought it was really good. Like, Chris, you liked it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Aside from the final mission in the game, I thought it was really strong. The final mission is kind of a pain in the neck. Well, I guess it depends on, you know, how you approach it. But there's a mission where you play as a female Bedouin, so like an Arabian rebel, basically.
Yeah, I've been seeing like art for her all over the place.
And she's a pretty cool character. But the final mission is that this train that comes in the Sinai Desert mission. It's like this huge armored train in the multiplayer that shows up. Well, in the single player, your whole mission is about trying to stop this train. So all three of the missions are, you know, in an effort to stop it. And the final mission is to take this train out. And it's just rough. Like, it is really hard.
Yeah,
because you're running around like and the train just rips you apart real quickly,
just like in multiplayer,
right? But you are basically trying to destroy it yourself because your teammates, like your you know, the support that you have with you is not much support at all. So you're trying to run into field guns, and
I don't think they damage the train at all. I think they just fight guys that come out of the train or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
like, they don't do anything.
Maybe you're right. Like, so you're trying to like run to the field guns and take shots at it, and then you're like collect anti-tank grenades or dynamite, and it just makes it really hard. Like, I failed a couple times on that mission. It was like getting to the point where I was getting frustrated with it. But everything else is really fun.
Because this is the thing, at those field guns that you go to, like, you can't take more than one shot from them, at least in my experience. Like, I had to take a shot and get off and run to another one.
Right, because
if you stand there, you get blown up.
Right, and it may not even be by the train, because they're also running bombers. So as soon as you take a shot, it's like they spot you, and then they do a bombing run on you. And because the weapons in this game are old, like, it's not automatic. Like, you have to reload that shell. It takes some time. So before you can get that second shot off, or maybe as you're getting the second shot off, you're getting rained on.
I will say, you brought up the weapons. The weapons in this game are really cool.
Yeah.
I like a lot of them. Seem kind of just thrown together.
Yeah.
Like, here's a sniper rifle with a thing taped onto it. Here you go.
It's really weird.
Scope.
Yeah.
Dude, it's all slapdash and
ugly, but it's so much fun.
This is part of the campaign where you're basically like dressed up as a character from fucking Dark Souls. Like, you're wearing like this heavy ass armor, like it looks like a knight. It's like there's like the weirdest war ever. Like, it's just like a mix between old and new. Like,
you're wearing basically like this this iron armor, like a helmet and a chest plate, and shoulder pads and knee pads, and you're holding like what is, I guess, like basically like a kind of like a a handheld machine gun, like,
yeah, like you can a pick big that heavy stuff machine up gun. And, is it the same as?
Yeah, it's the same as like the specialist and multiplayer.
I love picking up the flamethrower.
Yeah, it's light on fire. Love like watching them like run around the corner and you just like light them up. And
dude, that thing's got some range on it.
Yeah,
like, I feel like I'm standing. I feel like I'm standing like 100 feet away from a guy and he's hitting me with it. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh shit.
So, yeah, Battlefield has been quite a bit of fun. It's jumped up my list for sure.
Yeah, I don't even remember if it was on my list, but it's got to be near the top now.
It's a ton of fun.
It might be on my list now, and that's because of the campaign. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, campaign's great. Like those, I think they did a really smart thing by, I think you said this to me earlier this week, where by making it the stories, you don't have to have this like one protagonist that runs across like the entire world. Like,
yeah,
it gives you a reason to be in these different theaters of war, and that makes it better for the storytelling. Like, you could tell a short, concise story here and then move on.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Yeah, that you're globetrotting all over the fucking World War One, you know?
Right.
Good game. Yeah. Solid yes. game.
Very good. Anybody else been playing anything?
Yeah, man.
You know what's sad? I've been so obsessed with this game, I have not touched Civ 6 yet.
Oh, my God.
I have it. I have not.
I thought Tony was going to, like, totally overtake me in discussion for this game, but I guess not.
So you've been playing Civ 6.
I've been playing the shit out of it.
Okay.
I'm playing it right now.
Tell us about Civ 6.
I mean, did you like Civ 5?
Sure.
Yes. I liked Civ 5 after the expansions.
Yeah. Well, this is basically Civ 5 with the expansions already.
That's good.
In terms of, like...
So it's more Civ.
Well, yeah. I mean, that
that's, not necessarily in a bad way.
That sounds reductive, but yeah, I mean, it's just more of that game. And if you like that game, then you're gonna have a really good time. I mean,
okay.
It's hardcore enough to like get into all the like exact different features.
Okay,
but if you like playing Civ 5, it's more of that and more of what you liked out of it. And it sort of streamlines a lot of the minutia. Happiness is gone. Thank Christ. Because if that was like in Civ 5 that really, like, if you had a low rating, it was affecting everything in your civilization at once. Not okay. In a good way.
They eliminated happiness, so you don't
yep.
have to like seek out every textile and random incense burning thing in mm-hmm. the world now.
That's good. Is there any like new features to it, or outside of removal of happiness?
I mean, yeah. I mean, cities are built in like districts now, so like you have to build certain buildings in certain plots of land around your city, instead of just clicking on it and it just being in your city magically.
There are already charts out there of like the ultimate or
the optimal solution.
Optimal.
Really?
Yeah. And stuff like that. Instead of there being policies now, there are civics that sort of work like your research. But sort of chart the evolution of government.
Okay.
And stuff. So that's cool. I'm trying. Those are the big ones. You can stack units again,
up
to 3 units per tile.
Can you build like cores and? Like,
yeah, Ors and an army, I believe, is the third one. But those only come like with research upgrades and stuff like that.
How is the AI? Because I guess the biggest problem with vanilla Civ 5 was that the AI was horrendous.
So in this, the AIs both have a like obvious agenda and then a hidden agenda that you can discover through having delegates or spies at their in their capital and stuff like that. So it seems fairly.
Does it take you like by surprise? Do you have to fight like random wars and?
Not necessarily, because like it isn't perfect for sure. Because like my I'm in a 5-player game, and like the Vikings hate me, but they hate me because like they loved me at first because we shared similar style of governments. But the second I changed, like immediately without thought, they switched. And now they hate me. And it was like, all right, well, that went quick. But before then, they were praising me on my amazing navy. The Vikings and shit. But I don't have any ships.
Oh. Well, that's something.
So. But that's kind of the only stuff that I have encountered in terms of, like, poor AI. I mean, trading with them is still a pain in the ass. Like, you're never really going to find a way to make you and them happy. You might just have to take it on the chin.
Right.
I think the other big change, personally, is that workers have a finite amount of improvements before they disappear.
Oh, wow. More. That's weird.
Yeah, so they start with 3, and then
as you upgrade, you can get more.
Well, if you take certain governmental policies, then they can get up to 5. All I've seen, so.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating, but it is what it is. It really. I mean, I think it's because late game, like, you just have all these workers, and they're just.
Right, that is what always happened. You'd end up with, like, 9 million workers, and the entire world would be improvements.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay.
That's. Yeah, I mean, if you guys have any other questions, it's easier for me to answer the questions than it is to figure out exactly what does. It's a big game. Like, there's so much,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Who have you played as so far?
I'm playing as Brazil right now. Because I just randomed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been working out for me pretty well. I think I'm going to go military in this one because that's just what I do. And then I have a second game that I started a little bit of where I'm playing as Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to the space there.
How is Ned Stark's voice acting?
It's pretty good. He says some incredible things there. There are because they always do like the little explanation and then the quote from like somebody important involved in that field.
Yeah.
And he says some shit involving biology that's hilarious. Just like long 18-syllable scientific words and stuff like that. It's a good time.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, no, it's.
I'm sure we'll be talking more about Civ as Tony gets into it.
Yes, as I get into it.
Tony, you and I gotta play multiplayer at some point because that's one of the things I'm curious about because they supposedly, like, I don't want to say they fixed it, but they did some stuff to it in order to make it like not take forever.
Oh.
Oh, not entirely sure what that means, but
was it simultaneous?
It might be. I'm not sure.
That was always the thing that I never played it because it's weird to have a game like that and like have to sit and wait for your turn for like an hour.
Especially if you're playing with like 8 people or something like that.
You get into like the late game and you're like you're never playing. You're just kind of sitting there. Because as you get bigger, the turns get longer. Do you have a lot of cities in your civilization, or does it like focus you on just a couple of key ones?
No, actually, expansion is the name of the game here because everything takes for fucking ever.
Oh yeah.
You want a lot of cities so that way you can produce a lot of stuff at the same time. Or else
five would like penalize you the bigger you got.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the other way around, where it sort of actively encourages you to build as much, or and not necessarily take over as much, but build as much as you can. Because you're going to want a decent amount of production going. But and I guess the other thing that I noticed is that they, they no longer force you to build courthouses.
Oh, yeah.
In cities. Now you the cities just take forever to produce stuff to you until you've either negotiated for ownership of the city from that civilization, or you have annihilated that race, that civilization from the game, and then just take over all their shit.
Huh.
So, yeah, everybody's yelling at me right now because I think I'm a warmonger, and they're not wrong.
Warmonger, you.
As long as England decide to take me over, we're going to be fine. I'm going to keep England in my good graces here because they have shit everywhere.
All right. Anybody else play anything? Jeff?
Nah.
No, no more VR stories for us.
Jeff is sick of VR.
Nope.
VR.
Not at all. Nope.
Have you returned your VR yet? Have you gotten it fixed?
I have not. I've just been busy playing Battlefield. So, yeah.
I played some more Gears, and aside from Horde, just briefly touch on the Versus mode of it, which is can be difficult for people that don't understand how to play Gears of War. But there's two modes in particular that I've been spending a little bit of time with. One is Dodgeball, which is a really cool twist on Team Deathmatch. It's 5-on-5, and then when you die, you're out.
Right, yes, yes. I remember this. Yeah.
But when your team kills a member of the other team, so they kill somebody, you are then respawned in. So it's kind of this back and forth give and take thing where, you know, you may have to sacrifice yourself to get a kill, or you go down and then like your team has to fight back to get you back into the game. So it's this really interesting kind of mode that's actually a lot of fun, provided that you get on a team that knows what the hell they're doing and is willing to work as a team. Because if you get on a team that they all run off in different directions, like, you're pretty much screwed. The other one I've been playing is called Arms Race.
Sounds like a Counter-Strike mode.
But I don't know. Maybe I'll explain it, and then you can tell me if it is or not. But so you start off with one weapon, and then your team has to get three kills with that weapon to move on to the next weapon on the rotary.
Yep.
So you start off with basically the rocket launcher, the boom shot, and you get three kills with that. And then it moves to the torque bow, and so on and so on.
And then is the second to last weapon a grenade, and then the last one after that is a melee weapon?
No. Well, there's no specific melee weapon in Gears. So it just moves. It moves kind of through the progression of the power weapons in the game. There's no one for a grenade. It moves down. I think like you use like a sniper rifle towards the end, then you use the robot sniper rifle, which doesn't have a scope on it, but it's a charge shot, and then you use basically, which is like the super pistol, the Boltok, which is like a six shooter, to finish it all off. That mode is a ton of fun and a great way to like play with the other weapons in multiplayer, especially if you're not generally good. I've done okay. I'm hovering at about, I think my kill death before we started was at 0.99, so I'm actually holding my own. Which is surprising, but yeah, that mode is a blast to play.
That's cool.
It's because like you get to play with like the new weapons, the drop shot and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun to kind of go out there and utilize those weapons that generally, if you're playing like team deathmatch or something, they're on the map, but if you don't play a lot, you don't know where they are on the map. And then the people are running to them immediately anyway. So you're probably not going to pick them up, but, and then Horde mode's still been a ton of fun we need to play some more Horde mode and try and get to 50 at some point. So,
yeah, and that's basically the Counter-Strike mode as well. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. In Counter-Strike, it would get more and more powerful up and then at the last two would just be, all right, now you got to kill somebody with a grenade. And then in order to win, you got to kill somebody with a knife.
All right. So, I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to how it works. Like you start off with basically what would be the one-shot kill weapon, though, in Gears. So you start off with what anybody should be able to get a kill with, which is the rocket launcher. So.
Yeah, the easiest weapon, pretty much.
And then it gets like harder as you go on, like sniper rifle, robot sniper rifle, and then the pistol. So, we definitely need to play some Horde mode though, and try and get to 50 at some point. I'm moving my soldier up. I think I'm almost rank 4. So. Anyway, that's it for games we've been playing. Next week, I will have Titanfall. Tony, are you getting Titanfall?
Titanfall. For some reason, so I pre-ordered the game. For some reason, it's arriving on Monday. I don't know why.
That's a shame, because it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Sucks for you, bro.
Then again, I haven't played Civ yet, so...
So there you go. I don't know. I was... So I read the Polygon review, and I was like,
The other reviews have been more positive.
Then I read Jeff Gershman's review today, and he seemed really, really high on it.
Of Titanfall?
Yeah, so I'm tentatively excited for it. We'll see. I really like Titanfall 1. Tony really liked Titanfall 1.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that, you know, it's fun like that. Gershman was really high on the campaign, which Polygon was really low on, so... We'll see. Yeah. That's next week. Pete, you said there was a little more news, though. So before we close this out, what do you got for us?
So it's not news so much as maybe it's news. When the Wii U... not Wii U, I'm sorry.
Switch?
Yeah, when the Switch was announced, this woman called... what was her name? Laura Dale put out an article about all of the... sort of reporting that she's been doing on all the rumors and stuff leading up to this announcement and things like that.
Okay.
And I'm talking like days before she obviously knows somebody in Nintendo and stuff like that. She like not necessarily like breaking things beforehand, but it's like, hey, you know, like when was the, like 2 days before the Nintendo made their announcement, she was like, hey, if you're waiting on an official NX reveal, Thursday is going to be when it is, from what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And then she talked about, like, the video is going to have, you know, a new Mario game. It's going to have Zelda in it. It's just going to be, but it's going to be a long trailer with just a couple of games being shown kind of stuff. Like, I mean, this woman knows her shit is basically... what I'm saying, like right down to the fact that she knew it was 3 minutes long.
Okay.
And stuff like that. You know, so there were just a couple, there were two things on in her, she later did like this retrospective on all the reporting she had been doing. And two things stuck out. One was the battery life, which she said from both a Nintendo source and a Ubisoft source was that it maxes out at 3 hours.
Okay.
And now, you know, I'm not gonna don't necessarily take all of this at face value, just sort of, you know, but her track record's real good.
Right.
So chances are things like that. I mean, she even knew that January was going to be when they were going to talk about it. A week ago was in there. Like, yeah, we'll hear more about it
in January. Got it.
So yeah, there was that. She said that she's been hearing that there is additional processing in the dock, but only to let the tablet overclock in terms of, like, it's just going to take a little bit of strain off the tablet, allowing it to run slightly better.
Which makes sense, because it won't need to run off the battery from the tablet. It can run off the hard line. So.
Yeah. She says she's confident in saying that there is a multi-touch screen, but all Nintendo Switch games must be playable without the use of touch.
That makes sense.
So I'm assuming, you know, like, hey, if they wanted to port Mario Maker, they could do that. Or if they wanted to release a new one.
Right.
And then the big one, like the crazy one, that I thought was really weird, but I guess makes sense in terms of how things have gone for this project, is that she's heard from multiple sources, both from Nintendo and Ubisoft, that Nintendo is the one backing Beyond Good and Evil 2. And that they're going to pull sort of a Bayonetta 2 with this, and sort of
have it be the 130 game that shows up on the console.
Ah, well, you know there'll be more than one third-party game, at least at launch, Jeff. It'll be after that. That's the problem.
Yeah. That'll be the one to look forward to, and that'll be it.
But yeah, that's going to be their, like, big Switch exclusive, sort of like Bayonetta 2 is, hey, a game that normally wouldn't have been made that we are...
Which I think is cool, but is it really, like, is that going to sell Nintendo Switches?
Right. Not to the public, but I think it might turn a lot of people who were Nintendo fans but no longer back towards the console. Like, it's a cult favorite. Like, it's enough to draw attention in the way that I think Bayonetta 2 might have been. But they said, yeah, and then the release is in the past 6 months. There have been legal and pre-development discussions of budget and direction, project scope. The October art teases, which happened earlier this month, were a result of the project reaching a point where all parties were confident they could re-announce it and not have it be another announcement that ultimately didn't lead to a release. So I think that's fairly interesting.
It sounds like we're not going to get it for like a while, though. Then
no, but
like it sounds like they're starting from scratch again.
Well, you know the art stuff, yeah, was like pre-production stuff, but I'm not entirely sure about that. I have no idea. But I think that makes sense, like, for that project to sort of resurface out of nowhere and in that vein.
Sure.
Hey, yeah, Nintendo is the one bringing it. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense then. But yeah, that was it. I should have mentioned that stuff at the beginning. Yeah, they're looking at a 2018 release date for it. So as Jeff said, it wouldn't be like Bayonetta, where it came out 6 months after launch.
Right.
But I still think that's maybe something that at E3 of next year, once the Switch is out, it's only a year away at that point.
All right, so I just pulled really quickly a few more pieces of news. If you have an Xbox One, the Borderlands collection is free.
Randomly?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was just the pre-sequel.
It is the Handsome collection.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood what those were.
Which includes Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel.
Not Borderlands 1, for whatever reason.
Let's see.
You know, I was thinking about Borderlands earlier today. I would second season to Tales of Borderlands.
That would be great. Let's see, what else here? Pokemon Sun and Moon are Nintendo's biggest pre-orders ever.
Yeah, buddy. You see that new trailer? I didn't think that meant to, that, you know, that was good, that was newsworthy, but they put out a new trailer that I am all over.
I didn't catch the new trailer, but that game's looking pretty good.
You're curious to see the final evolutions of all the starters. Look no further.
Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be on the cover of MLB The Show 17.
Yeah.
Is he a current player or a classic player? I honestly don't know.
He's been retired for a few years now.
Okay, so there's no like curse for him to be afraid of.
No. Well, no. He'd get like cancer or something, but that's about
it. Jesus. I guess so.
I guess that could happen.
Fuck.
Yeah, he's been retired for 6 years now, so
this got dark real fast.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. Tony.
But I thought that was pretty cool that he's going to be their cover athlete.
Yeah, that was cool.
And the one other thing that I saw was that so Microsoft had an event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, you're right. I should have totally talked about that.
And I guess, who was it? There's a couple companies that are working with Microsoft on this. HP, Dell, Acer, Asus, and Lenovo, I guess. And they're all going to be shipping VR headsets next year, capable of doing the mixed reality stuff that HoloLens is able to do. They're all going to launch at $299. Now, it sounds like they will not be to the level of like a Vive or an Oculus.
That was going to be my question. So, because they were originally partnered with Oculus, so this is not just like an Oculus headset with the Microsoft name slapped on it. It's their own thing.
This is HP, Dell, Lenovo, Asus, and Acer joining into the VR front, and Microsoft supporting them as well.
Interesting. Okay.
I guess they're partnering with Microsoft to do some of that, the holographic stuff that HoloLens can do. But that $299 price point is interesting. Now, I guess they didn't really talk about how powerful they're going to be. Obviously, it's not going to be to the degree of the Vive or the Rift, but
yeah, probably alongside a PSVR solution for the PC.
Yeah, if they could hit something like that for the PC, that could be a good step for VR. It's actually be cheaper than PlayStation VR, so
yeah.
There's speculation. This, just complete speculation, but that maybe these will be the headsets that will work with Scorpio.
I guess so.
Maybe along with something that Oculus does, because they were definitely on stage. Talking about that stuff. So
yeah, I mean, my assumption is they're not going to just leave them twisting in the wind. So
yeah, but that's interesting, at least to see that. Despite it seems VR sales kind of flattening out, outside of the uptick with the PlayStation VR recently. There's still companies that are invested in going out there and seeing what they can do with it. So
that's good.
Yeah. Should make Jeff happy.
I might get some more games.
Well, I mean, at the very least, like, it's seen with, except Sony, who always just sort of releases a product, and if it's not successful within the first day,
right, they
just abandon it. But that, like, people like Valve and Oculus, or Facebook, rather, are in for the long haul, at least. Like, they know that VR is probably not going to be a big thing for probably 3 years, at least.
Right.
You know, like, this year is not the year of VR.
But if next year you're releasing $300 headsets, like, you're getting closer to being able to get it out to more
smart. And even if these like $300 headsets are shitty in terms of like graphics quality,
right,
as long as you're presenting the concept to somebody, I think that
that's gonna go a long way. As Jeff said, like, you need to try it, because once you try it, like, it's the experience. So
you need that Wii U of VR. Christ.
Yeah, you don't want the Wii U of VR.
No, never mind. Oh god, what have I done?
Massive headset you hold in your hands and touch.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
But yeah, so we'll see how that stuff turns out next year. But it looks like Microsoft is definitely throwing in with some of that stuff, so should be interesting. Yeah, so we'll have Titanfall 2 next week. Skyrim remaster comes out next week.
I'm not gonna grab that.
I will get that, but not at launch.
Yeah, I'm thinking Black Friday for that one. Yeah. If I can get it.
Well, at that point, I'll have like all my Best Buy credits for Titanfall and
be able to. Yes, I think I get a $10 gift card for Titanfall. For whatever reason.
Titanfall, Battlefield, Gears of War, NBA 2K all had them.
Okay.
Did you see that they put out a tweet like beating their chests over the fact that like you don't need a season pass for any of the content in the game?
They did. Yeah, I saw that.
I thought that was very interesting.
Especially since they're not like the first to do that. So.
Not only that, I think the first game did need a season pass.
Yeah, you did. For Titanfall 1, there was a season pass. It eventually went free, but they fractured their user base immensely with that.
Yeah, I did think of one other news piece that perhaps the fact that I forgot about until just now speaks to how important it really is. Evolve is, like, Turtle Rock is no longer developing Evolve. 2K was very wishy-washy about whether the game is still continuing to be supported by just another studio, but whether they are or not, Turtle Rock is not involved, period.
Yeah, so. It sounds like the servers will at least stay online for a little bit, so.
Yeah, and they currently have no plans to bring
the free-to-play version to the consoles.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we need to stabilize our PC player base first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure their PC player base was garbage to begin with, so I'm sure that the console player base is even less at this point, so.
Yeah. And then, if you care about Vine, Twitter's just shutting it down wholesale.
That's a shame.
Sure.
Sad day.
I never used Vine.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's important or not, but
I'm sure it is to somebody.
Maybe. From what I had heard, all the Vine people had moved to Instagram anyways, like all the big Vine people, because Instagram let them use 15 seconds.
Ah. Anyway. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Titanfall, maybe some more Battlefield, probably more Civ from Pete, and possibly Tony if he gets around to it.
One day.
We could pull him away from Battlefield.
I'm honestly shocked. I swear to God, I thought Tony was going to be like just fucking all over this.
See, I don't know what happened, but for some reason, the EA access that just got me into Battlefield, and I wanted nothing but Battlefield all the time.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
That is how I feel about it too, Jeff.
What is with the Friday releases, though? Like Battlefield like that. On Friday.
That's a good thing because you know what? Then you have the weekend to play it.
Call of Duty's Friday as well.
Yeah, it's
actually
like
Titanfall's Friday as well. Yeah,
Titanfall's tomorrow, and Call of Duty's the 4th.
They're setting a new standard.
I mean, it was always Tuesday because that was the easiest day to get the product onto the shelves, right?
Well, Tuesday was shift day, so I think everything came in Monday. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's long been the reason for retail. It's just, it takes so long. I don't want to wait till Friday.
Now, like, once you get it, you're not like, oh, man, I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, you can just sit and lounge, man.
This is true. Just seems like I have to wait an extra 3 days, even though I guess I could look at it as
three-day weekend.
I'm just saying, just think of it as 3 days early, man. You got that Friday instead of the next Tuesday.
I should really be thinking that Titanfall was supposed to come out on the 1st, and instead it's coming out on the 28th. So.
That's exactly how you should be thinking.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have Titanfall to talk about. And if Call of Duty unlocks, maybe we'll have that to talk about as well. At least for Jeff and I. I think Jeff and I are both getting Call of Duty.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not
all this shit.
I don't think I'm gonna do that.
Basically, I'm getting it to play Call of Duty 4. So,
I think that's why that if that game sells any amount of copies, I feel like that's the reason.
Nah. I mean, every year everyone's like, it's the end of Call of Duty, but
like, no, I don't think it's that. But like, I think maybe there's fatigue.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Like, not just like, oh god, it's another Call of Duty, but like, you know, as the guys were on Jabon were talking about, not this week, but last week, that like maybe they went too far forward and calling it Call of Duty just doesn't make any sense anymore.
It's possible. Haven't played it yet, so
you know. So
I'm looking forward to playing that campaign. But everything I've heard about the multiplayer, I have about zero interest in. So,
which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but I have Battlefield, I have Titanfall, I have Gears, and I'll actually have Call of Duty 4 as well. So,
Games to play. It has 80 zombies though, which we gotta play.
80 zombies. All right, I can get behind that.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily like the zombies modes in those games, but I will play some co-op zombies with you, Jeff.
Just because it's 80s, that's the only reason.
Who's in this one?
I don't know.
Oh.
Burt Reynolds?
I hope so.
I don't know if that's true or not.
You said Burt Reynolds. Yeah. How old are you?
I mean, I actually just saw somebody posted a image of Burt Reynolds on Polygon earlier today, so that's why he popped into my head. It looks like Michael J. Fox. Well, that's who it looks like. It probably isn't.
God, I hope it's him, though. I hope he does the voice.
David Hasselhoff is evidently
involved. That makes sense. That's unfortunate. Anybody watching Black Mirror Season 3 besides Jeff?
Yeah.
I will watch Black Mirror at some point. Just haven't watched it yet.
That's great.
What have you watched so far, Jeff?
I watched the first episode of Season 3... I watched the VR one.
Uh-huh.
I watched the Shut Up and Dance one.
Uh-huh. That one fucked you up a little bit?
Yeah, that one was good, but... and I watched 12 Million Merits. I think that's the name that was. From season one. It was like the...
Season two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you're jumping around, but then I was like, well, who cares?
I am jumping around, yeah.
Piece of shit like the
yeah, it doesn't matter.
They don't anymore. So I recommend, like, if you ever need a palate cleanser, like this is all too much, you should watch the fourth episode of season 3, and if you find that should be the very last episode you watch because it's the best one.
Yeah, I'm probably watching that one next. I've heard good things, so
it's so good.
All right, well, everyone go watch Black Mirror. Play some Battlefield and Titanfall. And we'll be back next week. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Sweet. Good night, Jeff.